listening to Lifestyle. I'm your host, Andrew Skroy. This week, I'm speaking with Daniel Madrid, director of the Delaware Division for the Visually Impaired, and Alicia Jenkins, deputy director. May is Healthy Vision Month. They're here to talk about it. I want to thank you both for being guests on Lifestyle this week.
Thanks.
So let's begin with May being Healthy Vision Month.
This month is dedicated to raising awareness on the importance of maintaining your eye health through prevention, detection, and awareness. For the Division for the Visually Impaired, every month focuses on promoting healthy vision, but having a dedicated month encourages all vision providers on a national level. Prevention and early detection are critical components to maintain healthy vision.
What are some things, Daniel, during Healthy Vision Month that people should remember or try to do?
One is having a dilated eye exam regularly to check for common eye problems. If you haven't had an exam for some time, it's important to schedule one as soon as possible. Also, ensuring children have their eyes examined for treatable issues, especially if they're found early. Less than one out of every four preschoolers right now in Delaware and across the country receive some type of vision screening. Last, determining any lifestyle changes. That's probably the largest driver of eye conditions right now and why they're growing at the rate they're growing in the next few decades. Thinking about things, diet, smoking, healthy weight, which leads often to diabetic retinopathy. Those are some of the things that we encourage people to be considering.
That's interesting. I didn't realize that diet was that closely linked to perhaps poor vision health.
Well, due to diabetes. So what we're seeing is with the fastest growing conditions around eye conditions in the country, one of which being diabetic retinopathy, as people have poor diets, they acquire diabetes, and then it, of course, leads to a variety of medical issues, including eye conditions with diabetic retinopathy. We're seeing it even with children now, younger and younger, some children around 8, 9, 10 years old with diabetes developing eye conditions due to the diabetic condition.
So this month is good for a diabetic patient if they have never been or it's been a long time since they've had their vision checked. This is something they should do.
It's good for any patient. If you're going for a regular medical checkup or if you haven't had a checkup in some time, to mention, to ensure you have an eye exam incorporated as part of that checkup. It doesn't always happen. We just encourage people to be aware that even if you think your eyesight is 20/20, nothing's changed, just to stay on top of it like you would any health checkup.
And your vision does change, does it not?
Yeah. You know, your physiology is always changing. So it's not uncommon for people, especially after the age of 30, for your eyes to start changing quite a bit. That's when we often see people starting to see some changes. It becomes more pronounced usually later in life. As we have an aging population locally and nationally, that's also where we're seeing more people who are acquiring vision loss later in life, and they have significant needs to remain independent in their homes, in the community, to continue to work, and we're looking to provide them the supports and resources to try and do that.
That pivots nicely into what does the Delaware Division for the Visually Impaired do?
So we are the oldest state agency in Delaware, founded over 100 years ago now. The division was started to assist Delawareans with blindness in having work opportunities, to ensure they have educational opportunities and supports, and also resources around independent living. Over the decades, the programs have changed, expanded, grown in many ways. We have three core services, as we call them. We have our employment services, which include employment supports to people with vision loss in the workplace. Part of that is an entrepreneurs program for people who want to go and become an entrepreneur through the Blind Entrepreneurs Initiative. We have vocational rehabilitation counselors in place to work with customers directly who need to receive accommodation supports in the workplace. And we also have business specialists, people that focus primarily on working with the employer and helping the employer understand how to accommodate their employees with vision loss.
Okay.
The other two core programs we have are independent living, which is focused on maintaining that independence in the home and community. And the third program is our school age program, which actually begins at birth in Delaware. From birth to three, if children are identified with vision loss, we start servicing them with teachers and providing the families with support in the home, teaching them what to expect, how to do vision stimulation, provide therapies, staying on top of those exams that the children need. And as they progress into education, our teachers continue to work with them in the schools in Delaware to provide any supports, accommodations, resources, including the materials, Braille, large print, electronic mm-hmm. text to make sure children can access what they need in their school environments in order to be successful.
I noticed that you do address it at every stage of development.
We're a birth-to-earth agency, as we like to call it. We're one of the few remaining that starts with the infants and will work with people. We have people right now in the program over 100 years old that are still working with us today.
And that explains why you've been around for as long as you have.
Yes.
It's great.
The other services that we provide within the agency include orientation and mobility, which is training for navigation through the community safely. And that includes both the physical aspects of moving about in the environment and also the psychological aspects of mapping and awareness of where you are in the physical environment. So we have a group of specialists that go out in the community. They're often working with public transit systems, even with small children beginning to use white canes for the first time. And we tell the providers and the schools out there in families that, you know, once a child starts having awareness of themselves in space, once they start getting that around 9 to 12 months of age, that we want our orientation and mobility specialists out there to work with children. Mm-hmm. The other services we provide, one of which is critical these days, is assistive technology. For people with visual impairments, technology is rapidly advancing. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things that is making much of the world more accessible to people with visual impairments today. You see a lot of the new technologies coming out. Some are very exciting, like the driverless cars. You see things coming out around accessible books through iPads. There's things coming out, it seems like every week or month now,
yeah,
that is making the world more accessible to our population.
Such as?
There are screen readers out there. There's software that once hooked up and has different key functions that the person has to use to manipulate the screen. It can tell you your applications, your keystrokes. It can orient you to wherever you need to be on a computer or program or application. It's still, you know, not all systems are accessible yet. There's ways to make them accessible. We talk to the companies and software manufacturers that make a lot of the technology out there. And we often consult with businesses too that come to us and say, I have an employee who's recently lost their vision and they operate off this database. How do we make that accessible to that person? And there's often a way to do that. And we can connect them to the programmers and people that can do those types of things. So mm-hmm. it's remarkable with technology, what is emerging today. And the last that I'd like to mention is our material center. We have a production facility / library that is dedicated to making the materials for school-age children. All of the Braille that goes into the schools in Delaware, much of the large print and electronic media now is coming through our material center and going out to the students in our program.
What do you think is the greatest challenge for someone who has newly found compromised vision? Is it the psychological struggle of accepting their limitations or the adjustments necessary to live and cope with those limitations? Or is it a combination?
That's a great question. It certainly is a combination. I believe the challenges for our most common customer mm-hmm. is that person who wasn't born with blindness but has experienced that through their midlife experience mm-hmm. that they have to adjust to their blindness and overcome the feeling of losing their independence. The biggest comment that we receive is that person who's no longer able to drive, and then they aren't able to do things without asking for assistance. So one of the areas that we provide support is peer support counseling.
Okay.
And just understanding and assuring them that other people have experienced the same things and went on to do great things. They're able to see their grandchild play on the swing from a distance that they couldn't see anymore. They're able to learn Braille or continue to read books when they didn't think the glasses were strong enough to be able to read small print, as well as connect with other people who've experienced blindness and play bingo.
Mm-hmm.
Participate in music appreciation classes, as well as other fun activities like seeing plays and just engaging in those activities that we all want to be able to do as we grow into seniorhood.
So it seems like it's the psychological struggle. And then when they realize that DVI has the tools and remedies to help them live, that psychological struggle gets diminished.
Yes.
Almost completely.
Absolutely. It's not a one-time deal where we're there. There takes a couple visits for us to actually kind of develop the relationship as well as assist them with adjustment to blindness and give them the resources and the support they need mm-hmm. to kind of live that fulfilled life that they would have experienced before they lost their vision.
Great.
So, for example, we have been working with a retired veteran who developed age-related macular degeneration a few years back, and by golly, he was legally blind, which was a huge adjustment for him.
Real quick, legally blind, the definition of that.
The legally blind definition is when you go have your eye exam,
mm-hmm.
and at the top of the chart, there's this huge E.
Right.
That means just 20 over 200. So that is the acuity of what you're reading from that distance of 20 feet.
The patient can't even read that E?
The E is what they can see.
That's it.
That's it.
They can't see the line below it.
They could not see the line below it. They may have a Q, X, A, Z, or Y.
Okay, sure.
But it's just that E right on the top of it. Just knowing that E, just say they were trying to read something. It's going to take them a little longer with the assistive technology, such as a handheld magnifier, because the print and kind of more of a tracing to be able to complete a word or a sentence. So it's not going to flow. It takes some practice and some training to be able to do that.
The orientation of what they're reading through the glass is it's so close that they need to learn how to scan.
Right.
You're listening to Lifestyle. I'm your host, Andrew Scroy. This week, I'm speaking with Daniel Madrid and Alicia Jenkins, directors for the state of Delaware's Division for the Visually Impaired. The agency helps hundreds of Delawareans who live with lost and compromised vision. And right now, we learn of a couple of the stories of clients whom DVI has helped.
So again, our retired veteran had age-related macular degeneration, which is an eye disease that blurs the central vision that is needed for activities such as driving or reading.
Mm-hmm.
So he was very skeptical that the services would be offered in a timely manner and pleasantly surprised when we began services almost immediately. So he received an electronic magnifier, a white cane, as we referenced before, orientation, mobility, safe traveling, a talking watch that's going to assist him with getting to those doctor's appointments on time, and an audiobook player so he could enjoy the most recent novel that was released.
Yeah.
He had a supportive family that teamed with us, as well as the Veterans Administration, to help him adapt to life with severe vision loss. Although he missed reading, driving, and television, he has learned that he can still enjoy pleasures in life with limited vision.
That's great.
Yep.
I want to take a moment to feature another client from DVI, Dwayne Adams. He has a remarkable story. He was the victim of a stray bullet that entered through his eye several years ago. He was left with no vision in one eye and very little in the other. And while recovering, he discovered his love for rowing. When he was moving from Philadelphia to Delaware, he approached the Division for the Visually Impaired, requesting assistance to move his successful nonprofit, Breaking Barriers, from Philly down here to Wilmington. And that's exactly how your agency helped him. The following is his story, as told in a promotional video, highlighting employment services offered across several agencies within the Delaware Department of Health and Social Services.
First thing I would say is this. At Breaking Barriers, we do not use the word can't. Basically, I was an innocent shooting victim where I was shot with a bullet that went into my left eye and is currently lies behind the right eye. That gave me partial sight in the right eye, prosthetic in the left.
What we doing next? Keep running, just follow me.
Don't think just because you're in a wheelchair, you have no vision, you're a single amputee, whatever it might be, don't think that's a stopping block for you. If you want employment, seek the employment and use your skills and talent to grow above that. Well, I found Breaking Barriers because the inner city youth are based on basketball, football, baseball. In the sport of rowing is more mental than physical. You have to be in shape, but it's a thinking man sport. So we can channel the kids to do something differently, give them an alternative. So through Breaking Barriers, we can help them with any violence, obesity, disability, and a drive to continue to go more. My goal is to continue to grow Breaking Barriers. Hopefully we can go state to state, city to city, and share the same message. Find your gift. Take the time to understand your talents, your skills. And from there, that will help you with your drive and your mission to move forward to whatever you're trying to do.
Good work, fellas.
And good work, DVI, for helping Dwayne continue his mission. So, Daniel, there are some events and opportunities through DVI in the coming months.
We're starting a few new initiatives this year for the agency. One is our Braille Enrichment for Literacy and Learning Academy. which is taking place June 13th through the 24th at Camp Lenape in Felton, Delaware. We also have our first ever Camp Abilities coming to Delaware, which is a national program and will be new to Delaware this summer with Delaware Camp Abilities. It's a developmental day camp for children age 5 to 21 with visual impairments, and it's mainly focused on recreation for students who still want to play sports or learn sports. It involves a lot of orientation and mobility activities, but also things about healthy lifestyles, healthy living, being active, and being out in the community and participating in the community. So we're excited about that. That event will be occurring July 25th to 29th, also in Felton, Delaware. And last, we are launching our first ever gift store in the state of Delaware. It's one of our entrepreneurial activities down at the Myrna Rest Area. So for many of the beachgoers that go back and forth down Route 1, the Smyrna Rest Area is maybe the only stop in Delaware between here and the beach. And we have a consignment shop in place that features a number of locally based artisans featuring their products there, some of which are also artisans with blindness and other disabilities. So we're looking for ways to both support entrepreneurs with blindness and then feature products of persons with disabilities in Delaware. So we're excited about that taking place with a store opening. We have a soft opening already. People can stop in on the weekends, but the grand opening is at the end of this month in May.
And obviously proceeds.
All proceeds come back and help us build more programming. So, and we're looking for donations for a couple of the programs. Any donations that we get, we operate essentially as a nonprofit, so it does go back right to individuals with visual impairments in different ways, in providing devices, programming, activities, resources for children's and adults with vision loss.
Great. Say an artisan is listening and they have some pieces of work that they'd like to offer to the consignment shop. How should they get in touch with you?
Yes, if you're an artisan or looking to get involved, if people are interested in learning more about working with our community in general, we have a single point of contact. Our main phone number is the best way to get in touch with us at 255-9800. And if you're interested in getting involved for consignment opportunities, I recommend asking for Deborah Talley. But if you're interested in volunteering and working with our material center, if you are parent, caregiver, you have a loved one that you're concerned about, or an individual living with vision loss in Delaware, it would be the same number. So for any of our services, to get involved, to learn more about the agency, to work with us on any of our initiatives, please do contact us. And we can also be found on the web and Facebook.
Excellent. Yeah, I suppose you're always looking for volunteers.
We are. Yeah, we use volunteers in a number of ways. The primary one is through our material center. So for those materials that get adapted for school-aged children, it takes an army of volunteers to make those materials. We can't do it without them. In addition, they also get involved as readers, scribes. They help with support services in the community and on special projects and initiatives that we focus on, like the literacy project. We have people coming in and helping us recruit and get the word out about different things that we're working on.
It sounds like it would be a great project for teens.
Teens, college students looking for internships, seniors looking for things to do in the community. We also work with a number of great nonprofit programs. The Lions Clubs are a huge supporter locally and nationally of people with vision loss. So it comes from a myriad of places, and it's the community that we're here to serve, and we appreciate your support in turn.
So to wrap.
Again, Andrew, May is Healthy Vision Month, and this is a perfect opportunity for us to encourage people to have that dilated eye exam and constant care regarding their eyes. Even though DVI has served 900 people annually, has a registry of close to 3,000 individuals with visual impairments or blindness, various statistics state that up to 27,000 Delawareans may have a visual impairment. So we encourage everyone to get out and get those eye exams done, and certainly contact us if they have experienced any type of vision loss.
And there it is. May is Healthy Vision Month. You've been suitably informed by our guests today as to the steps everyone should take to ensure the best vision health. I want to thank our lifestyle guests this week, Daniel Madrid, the director for the Division for the Visually Impaired, and Alicia Jenkins, deputy director.
Thank you so much.